Testing, 1, 2, 3. How about now? I'm going to test by seeing if Joan can hear me without me telling her that I'm doing anything. There was some sort of fuckery going on with my headset. Oh, I had to tell her because I haven't heard anything. Okay, guys. Yay, she can hear me now. All right, I'm going to go back and I'm going to repeat myself because apparently you didn't hear anything that I had to say. So, good evening, everybody. Welcome again, Redux. It's not 8:30 anymore. It's 8:34. And it's Sunday, April 18th, 2021. Thank you for joining me for The Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, pardon, online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media, as well as my trusty helper who is here every week despite being very angry at this particular franchise. So thank you, Joan, and I'm also going to give you some thank you applause along with NDB Media for making this show happen. Thanks, both of you. Very strange. My wave is much quieter than I'm normally accustomed to having it. But let me get some volume going. All righty. So, tonight's show, as always, contains spoilers up through the last episode and possible information from any current AMC official promo Walking Dead materials. So if there's something posted online and it's a spoiler, but it comes from AMC somewhere, we're going to talk about it because they saw fit to do so. Welcome to Season 6, Episode 9. Fear continues the back half of Season 6 up to June 6th. There are 7 more episodes left until the Season 6 finale. World Beyond Season 2 is currently slated to air, quote, sometime in late 2021. Still, no movement on that. We don't know when it begins other than it is said to be this year. June 13th, 2021 would be the first potential slot for it to run based on when Fear will be over. And then there'll be 10 episodes in season two. That would take us to August 15th if they do it that way. In 2022, there's a fourth series coming, the spinoff series with Carol and Daryl. In late 2022 or 23, there will be a fifth show, the episodic roadshow style story that I've been telling you guys about, Tales of the Walking Dead. All right, I tell you what, I'm still having technical vomit, and I'm going to actually reboot both of these pages. So if you guys can bear with me just a hot minute, I'm going to see if that will clean this up. So I'm going to create two new pages, and I'm going to go over there. No, I didn't want to go there yet. I apologize for the technical difficulties, and I am going to do my level best to get them straightened out so that we can continue the show. Alrighty, bear with me just a moment. I'm going to completely tear down the pages and come back up. Yeah, I may not disappear, but just in case I do, I will be right back, I promise. Alrighty, I am pulling the pages back up. Hopefully I'm here. I seem to be able to be heard before, but my browser kept crashing the pages, so I'm not sure what was unresponsive, but hopefully it's not me. I'm very responsive, if possible. All right, checking in with Joan to see if she can hear me, and pulling everything back up, and we ought to be ready to go now. Hopefully, in theory. All right, let me check in the chat room. She can hear me. All right, that's perfect. So I am going to continue with what I was going to be saying. Okay. We talked about the stuff we know, Carol and Daryl, Tales of the Walking Dead. That's all coming. It's going to be a couple years. All right. Typically, we start this show about a half hour before the new episode airs live each week. Pardon me. With recaps from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together, then rate the episode so far from 1 being and 10 being perfect, and give commentary during the commercial breaks. We'll also give you guys trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either spoilers or the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show presented. And we actually have a caller, and I'm not going to screen them. I'm going to put them on live. Hopefully it won't be the 15-year-old we had a couple weeks ago. Oh, well, now they vanished. I'm not sure who that was because they were calling in on one of the main lines. Like, it didn't give a phone number. It's a host call. I thought was super strange. So I'm not sure what that was about, but let us continue. So, no spoilers, no comics. You guys know how we roll. Feel free to call in to speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314. Anytime tonight, but especially I encourage you guys to call before 9 o'clock. If you do call during the live episode after 9 p.m., you will be screened and muted until the commercial break, where we can chat live on the air. If the phones are not your thing, join us and you can keep Joan and I company in our live chat room where you will be able to listen to the show real time, as well as go back after the fact and download the episode. And we post the link for that on our Facebook page, occasionally my Twitter when I remember to get to it and leave enough time to do so. All right, if you're unable to join us in real time this evening or any evening, you can go to the episode link later on, and after the show's done, they process it into a file. You can download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening, or you can just listen to it on the webpage. Just click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page to download. Otherwise, it'll just start automatically playing. Alrighty, it's 8:41. Tonight's episode of Fear is entitled Things Left to Do. The official AMC synopsis is: a standoff occurs between Virginia, her Rangers, and Morgan's group. Ginny has made a lot of enemies, and it's finally catching up to her. And as we often do, additional synopses. I did manage to find one that wasn't all full of spoilers. This whole thing with AMC, I know that they sometimes let you see stuff on Friday before the Sunday, but now they're doing it like Monday and Tuesday, and every time I turn around and there's a synopsis, it's a frickin' spoiler pregnant, full of no-nos, and it's very hard to find one that's not doing that now. But Old Faithful, comicbook.com, Cameron Bolomono, has a nice little write-up for us back from April 12th. Fear the Walking Dead 609 sneak peek warns very bad things are about to happen. I don't think this has spoilers in it, but you know how I roll. If I find out I'm wrong, I will abandon ship, but we'll give this a chance. I'm going to check in the chat room real quick. Oh, there's somebody in the chat room named Victory Raider. Hi, random person. We are about to get into the extra synopses of tonight's show on Fear the Walking Dead. So you have just come in at the perfect time. All right, so Cameron says, Virginia issues Morgan an ultimatum in a sneak peek from Fear the Walking Dead, Season 6, Episode 9, Things Left to Do. This is slightly spoilery to the end of the last episode and maybe the first vestiges of this one, but it was in the trailer, so eh. As Morgan regroups after Dakota shoots and kills John Dory, if anybody didn't know this, you have no business watching the show until you get caught up. So please bookmark us and go away. All right. Widowing June, Virginia demands Morgan come to Lawton and hand over her younger sister, or she's going to execute a heavily pregnant Grace in front of the rest of Morgan's friends. They captured Luciana, Sarah, and Daniel Salazar. I'm going to check the chat room real quick, see how we're doing. Victory Raider has decided not to stay with us. So, fine, random person. Bye. Okay. Here is the quote. This season, as much as it's been a test for all of how our characters are changing within Virginia's communities, it's also a sense of how Virginia is being tested because things have not exactly gone her way. We've been seeing Virginia tested in a lot of ways, co-showrunner Ian Goldberg said during WonderCon at Home 2021. It's a virtual convention. You see someone who, when we first introduced her, was so confident. Now the walls are starting to close in around her, and she's becoming more erratic and more desperate. We're seeing she's becoming more and more potent. Yeah, artificially so. As with most of the leaders, possible exception of Negan, and I'm not even sure I'm willing to go entirely that far. All of these leaders who are raging assholes, people just follow them. I refuse to believe in an apocalypse where there are no competent leaders who are not dickheads. I think it's possible. I want to know why it never happens in this universe. Rick doesn't count because he actually kind of was a dickhead and kind of stepped down a few times and a bunch of other things. Virginia is back on her heels, quote unquote, because Dakota defected to Morgan's side. Well, as far as she knows, not knowing her sister, yeah, is the mystery person who saved Morgan after Virginia shot him and left him for dead to end season 5. Virginia's cornered and she's kind of like a wounded animal, said showrunner Andrew Chambliss, other showrunner. So there's going to be lots of unexpected stuff coming from her. Starting with the shocking mid-season return, season 6B is about turning the screws on everyone as much as we could and pushing everyone to their extremes, Chambliss said. Some characters are going to break. Some aren't. Some are going to embrace who they are and who they've become. Some are going to run from it. And that is the end of that extended synopsis, and there wasn't really any spoilers. So thank you guys at least for that. Thank you, Cameron. Jonah says, I swear I'm not running these folks out of the chat room. Oh, I'm sure you're not. I have no idea where they even randomly come from. I don't know any of them. I kind of was hoping maybe they were interested in Fear the Walking Dead, but I don't like how they took off. But I'm not going to chase them, you know. They'll have to figure out what they're missing. All right, so Joan also says, bad writing, yes, on the parts of the showrunners. Just kill Virginia Reddy and then take out Dakota for a bonus. You know, most of the leaders like this. That eventually does happen. So y'all have 7 episodes to clean up this poo. And I really hope you take advantage of it and do not let season 6 end with Virginia on my shoes. That's all I got to say about that. All right. I'm going to continue with our notes. It's 8:46. We have a little bit of time. So we're at Writers and Directors Profiles. Da, da, da. Tonight's episode is written by Nick Bernadoni and directed by Satro. All right, profile time. I've caught up with everything Joan said. Okay, let's keep going. Nick Bernadoni was born in Brooklyn, New York. He is known for his work on The Walking Dead, Red Machete from 2017, 30 Rock, the webisodes in 2008, and Bromos in 2009. He is the writer and producer of The Walking Dead web series, Red Machete. Nick, buddy, you should have made it fit in with the plot to the other stuff the way they used to do it. That was a really cool mechanic, and you peed on it. And I don't know if that was your idea, but it was somebody's. But he does do good writing. Bernadoni has had 6 nominations and 1 award win. Writers Guild of America 2018 and 2019 noms for Red Machete, PGA Awards winner 2013 Outstanding Digital Series for 30 Rock the Webisodes, Primetime Emmy Award noms 2012 and 13 twice for 30 Rock and 2018 for Red Machete. Bernadoni has also held various crew positions on Unbreakable, Kimmy Schmidt, Bloodline, Saturday Night Live, The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, and more. He has 7 producer's credits aside from Red Machete and 7 writer's credits outside of Red Machete. He also has 6 actor's credits since 2010 and 2 director's credits. He worked as a script cord for 26 episodes of season 7 and season 8 of Walking Dead Classic and 13 episodes of seasons 4 and 5 of Fear. Tonight is his 2nd time writing an episode anywhere in the Walking Dead franchise. So far, it's only been for Fear. The first one was Fear the Walking Dead, Season 5, Episode 13, Leave What You Don't, which he co-wrote with Ashley Cardiff. All right. Joan made a comment in the chat. I saw a review this past week with someone hoping Dakota can be redeemed like Charlie was. No! I wouldn't put it past them either. That's what Joan said, she wouldn't put it past them. It's interesting. I saw a meme on my daughter's Facebook earlier this week, and I forgot all of the content, but it was basically not every villain deserves a redemption arc. You know, it's nice when people can be redeemed because, honestly, we're terrified of assholes that can't be reached because they're super dangerous. And I get that. And that's the fear that this art pokes, you know, in us. But I'm not even entirely sure that Negan deserved one. I know he's changed, but it honestly feels forced. I don't know why he would go as far as he did and then weasel back out. I really have never understood what was the tipping point. And it wasn't just losing the people in Sanctuary. It wasn't all that. I really am hard-pressed to think of a villain in Walking Dead who deserved redemption. I'm sure there probably are some, but I bet you the argument is going to be they weren't really villains. You know, we will see. We're here to discuss all that stuff. But let me get back to Nick's bio. So, actually, we finished Nick's bio. Let's go to Satro. So, Michael Edison Satrozemus, nicknamed Satro, pardon me, has extensive movie and TV credits to his name, so we'll just summarize and update his entry. That's all I've been doing for a while. Satro was some form of camera operator for 15 episodes of The Walking Dead Classic, starting with Guts, Season 1, Episode 2, in 2010. He was second unit director of photography for 3 episodes until 2013. He then became director of photography from 2013 to 17, ending with The Walking Dead Season 8, Episode 3, Monsters. He has directed 17 prior episodes of The Walking Dead Classic, starting with The Grove, and we always have to do this when Satro comes. We have to play My Little Wave. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So that was his first directing, and up to Season 10, Episode 11, which was Morningstar. That's the last one he directed for Walking Dead Classic. He's been co-executive producer for Fear since Season 4, Episode 1 in 2018, up to present, which is 39 episodes so far. He has directed 11 prior episodes of Fear, 5 in Season 4, 5 in Season 5, in Season 6, 2 so far. Tonight will be his 12th that he's directed for Fear. The last previous one was Season 6, Episode 8, last week's The Door. That was his fault. I mean, his doing. I'm assuming the showrunners put him up to the death, because we're going to talk about this later. Garrett Dillahunt did one out. Joan mentioned that briefly, and I went and looked it up. So, yeah, I have an article about that. All right, so that's it with the writers and directors. It's 8:52. We got a little time. Let's get into trivia. Trivia about tonight's episode. It will be the 78th episode of Fear overall. It's the last appearance of John Dory as a corpse, last appearance of Emile LaRue as a flashback. The title of the episode, Things to Do, refers to the note that Dakota left for Morgan after she saved him. I'd forgotten about that. This episode marks Alex Nissenson's 25th appearance on Fear the Walking Dead, and shockingly, I forgot to fudge her name, so a certain electronic device in my office doesn't go off, and strangely, it didn't pick it up. That's kind of weird. All right, co-stars tonight, Corey Hart as Raleigh. He was a member of Logan's crew until the group was wiped out by the Pioneers. He's currently a member of the Outcasts. And Todd Terry as Lee, this is way back, after being rescued from a plague-ridden office building, which was kind of part of the CRM and Althea and I can't remember the other girl's name, one who worked for CRM that she was in love with. That was all that plot line. Office building alongside his former colleagues, he joins a newly established settlement led by Morgan Jones. So I guess he is with all the new people with the new mother and stuff, the place that Morgan found. Uncredited tonight, Carl Thomas as James, a pioneer. Demetrius Gross as Emile LaRue, archival footage. He's the dead bounty hunter. So I guess they just didn't credit him because his character didn't do anything. Joseph Castillo Midyet as Cigarette Man, archive footage. He was one of the two that was connected to the submarine. Morgan stabbed him in episode 4. He's a member of a mysterious hostile group and served... Sorry, I have a little cough tonight. As the primary antagonist of the episode, The Key. Stephen Brody as Young Man, archival footage. This was the other guy who was associated with the submarine and the weird messages. Morgan kills him in episode 4. Morgan stabbed the other guy, but it's a little vague as to whether he died. He might not have died, which is kind of probably why they're coming up. I don't know. So Morgan kills this guy in episode 4 of The Knacks. He's a member of a mysterious hostile group and serves as the secondary antagonist of the episode, The Key. Check in the chat room for comments. Nothing new, so let's continue. Also uncredited, Jenny Biggs, Michael D. Yuhl, Y-U-H-L, I hope I'm saying it right, and Eric Smith are all Lawton Rangers that are not credited tonight. Unknown infant actors, usually they do babies as twins, plays Morgan. She is the newborn daughter of Rachel and Isaac, named after Morgan Jones. An unknown canine actor as Rufus, who was Emile's hound dog, with Morgan now, but staying at that new place he has. Deaths, of course, will be announced. Not yet. It's 8:55, so let's try to get in trivia from last episode, although there is a lot, so I may have to stop in the middle, but we'll see. Double check in the chat room. Everything's quiet. So last episode trivia, The Door, episode 8. First and last appearance of Mr. Dory, being John's dad, in the photograph. Last appearance of Marcus, who I believe was a ranger, pioneer. Last appearance of John Dory alive. Last appearance of McNeil's bait and beer. Okay. The title of the episode, The Door, referred to John talking about using it to keep the past locked out, and later using a door to float down the river after being shot by Dakota. This episode last week marks Maggie Grace's 25th appearance on Fear the Walking Dead. This episode was originally meant to air as the mid-season finale, although it would have been a hell of an ending for the mid-season finale, although it was a hell of an ending for the mid-season opener. However, the production of this episode was postponed due to COVID-19. This episode features several callbacks to Season 5, Episode 4, Laura. John has to put down several walkers that wash up at his cabin due to a hole in the bridge and must travel upriver in his canoe in order to fix it. In addition, the Jeep that he and June had used to block the hole can be seen in the background on the bridge. However, the truck that has crashed into the river appears to be gone. John watches movies rented from McNeil's Bait and Beer, where his reviews are written on a sheet of paper that Marcus finds. On Talking Dead, it was confirmed that the movie John watches is Meet John Doe, which was the first movie John and June watched together. John has isolated himself from the world until someone shows up to bring him back again. Yeah, huge parallels to Laura. John spells out a message to June using Scrabble tiles. Dakota mentions that somebody stocked the shelves with everything I needed in order to patch Morgan up. While at Bill's for the first time, June had rearranged the medical supplies in order to make it easier in case somebody came by needing them. June finds a zombified John in the exact same way and position that he had found her, aside from June still being alive, it being daytime instead of nighttime, and John not being slumped over a canoe. 8:58. I'm going to pause here instead of reading a whole chunk section. We can go back to that at the first commercial break. I am going to go ahead and go dark preemptively so that you guys can get set up, and then we will reconvene at the first commercial break. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back. Okay, it's 9:04. We are at the first break. I'm five. I'm so aggravated. I'm going to scroll up real quick and grab things Joan and I were talking about, and then I will go back to the article. So, let's see. I had mentioned, you know, I was just at the very end watching Joan have to take out John Dory again. And a moment like that would absolutely crush my soul if I had to do something like that. I think it's good that they include things like that, because I don't think we should shy away from them. Because in the scenario that's created, yes, I know it's fiction, but it's based on real life, so shut up. We need to see moments like that and remember they still happen in this world, in our world too, but more there. John said, I really don't understand why some of the reviews are saying, this is one of the best seasons of Fear. No, it's not. I agree with you, Joan. I'm just trying to just judge based on the current episode, but I can't help thinking how much better this show was in season 3 and before. And I agree with Joan. Season 3 was when they had Calataca and they had that ranch and everything. That was well crafted. They were actually starting to get that show figured out. And the new showrunners, I'm sorry, guys. I know you're still here, and I don't get why. You haven't earned it. You really haven't. You've done bad things to this show. You need Angela Kang Redux to come and clean up your poo. All right. Not sure what this violence is power is. There's a trailer for some kind of really hardcore violent something something, but that's pretty much a lot of what they show on AMC at night, especially around Walking Dead stuff. It's taking them a while to get to it. Oh, Gangs of London, should have guessed. And why is it next? Why is it not Talking Dead? Okay, we're back, so I'm going to shut up. I'll see you guys at break number 2. All right, it's 9:17. We are at break number 2. Joan, I don't remember you scoring in the previous segment, so I can't say anything, but Joan is giving it a 4.5. I said 5, so I'm going to obey my rules and stay at 5. But I am aggravated with this whole thing. I do not understand why any of them are still loyal to Virginia. But Victor did kind of what I expected Victor had been up to all along, but he couldn't reveal that. Let me go back and recapture the rest of the comments. Joan was saying that I was correct, that season 3 was the one with Calataca and the ranch and all that. That has been our favorite season. The rest of them are not as good. That's just simply it. I have also said I'm sick and tired of so many bad seed kids randomly, stupidly killing adults. You know, I could let it go once because we had, you know, look at the flowers. But then we had Charlie just killing Nick. And I know Nick killed somebody that was close to her, but I don't know why she even got away with it. But we do not need Dakota also doing the bad seed thing. That is too many. And Joe says, June totally wanted the gun for sentimental reasons right after she used it to kill Jenny. Well, yeah, basically. I see where Joan did score 4. Okay, so that's fair. 4.5, she's being generous. And she says they're trying to make June into another Carol. And she's starting, Joan is starting low on her rating, so she doesn't have to regret wanting to go lower later. And by the way, Talking Dead won't be back on until the finale, which I'm super pissed about. Because they were doing well and keeping it going. I don't get why they are ripping Fear out of having Talking Dead. Fear deserves it. You know, it might redeem some things if they sit and talk about why the hell they're doing some stuff. Maybe Chris just doesn't want to have the showrunners on to have to talk to those fuckers. I'm kind of hot about that. Jonah said, Jenny's not even that smart. She didn't even realize her damn sister wants her dead. I don't know about that. I kind of think she might know. And that might even be part of why she wants her back. You know, keep your enemies closer, that sort of thing. right. I have stayed at 5. Joan said, yeah, Joan's reminded me she had a 4. I just missed it. And look at the flowers, kid, was straight from the source material. Well, that doesn't matter, though. That's not really a point. You know, there is precedent, but there's tons of things on the show that have nothing to do with how they did it in the comics. So that's really less of an excuse. I'm just kind of saying it's an overplayed trope now, just like the evil asshole who has a community going and everybody obeys them and puts up with this crap. There are more of them than there are of the leader. Their leader doesn't have anything over them that isn't executed by manpower. So I don't understand why they get all this manpower. Okay. So let me go back to my notes, which are acting up. There we go. We were in the middle of trivia, but now, okay, we're back. So I'll read it to you guys later. Yeah, Joan's staying at 4.5. I'm staying at 5. It's 9:28. We may be here all evening at the rate things are going. Let me try to recapture further comments. Joan has said, you know, even though the look at the flowers, you know, with Lizzie, I think, was from the comics, which we don't talk about a whole lot, but that's common knowledge. There was a reason for the first bad seed kid, but all the others, yeah. And Joan is fussing because Morgan is trying to save Jenny for right now because apparently she's got hold of Daniel and Grace. And so we were saving her, and it's like, if you don't get a medical attention, that'll kill you. And Joan's like, great, let it kill her. She burned the bridge with the medical people. And then she said she took good care of Grace, and Joan's like, took good care of her. She kept her in a cage. Yeah. And yeah, see what I mean? She's stupid as hell about her sister. Yeah. I don't know if she actually is that dumb or not. I'm torn. And there never any bullets with the SWAT guns. Joan's at 4.5. I'm at 5. Yeah. Joan says, if I wanted them, my sister is my daughter drama, I'd watch soap operas. Yeah, this does not fucking add anything to the plot. You know, okay, she got knocked up as a teenager, and her parents were embarrassed and raised the kid as a sister. Whatever. This is not necessary, and it doesn't change anything about the completely toxic crap that she and Dakota both do. All right, let me go back to my notes. We were talking about trivia from last week. Let's keep going. The events of What's Your Story are mentioned several times during the show. It was revealed in this episode that Dakota killed Cameron for him telling Virginia that she was sneaking in and out of Lawton. However, Dakota didn't expect her to kill Janice and had encouraged John's investigation in the hopes it seemed Virginia obviously covering up for someone would create doubt amongst her people. It was also revealed that Dakota saved Morgan after the events of End of the Line, as she wants Morgan to kill Virginia, the greater purpose that she mentioned in the note that Dakota had left for Morgan. The broadcast of this episode ends last week with a notice warning people that if they or a loved one has expressed thoughts of suicide, to call a suicide hotline. I thought that was very odd because nobody in the show committed suicide. I don't know why they suddenly felt the need to do that. This is the first episode since No One's Gone to feature a death of a main character. The first character. In the memoriam on Talking Dead for this episode, the walker that Dakota kills is credited as Dakota would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for the meddling walker, as a reference to Scooby-Doo. Yeah, let me hurry up. Try. In addition, the message at the end is spelled out with Scrabble tiles as a reference to Laura, and the messages that John and June would leave for each other using the tiles. Grace is about 7 months pregnant now, and John's guns were sent to him by his father, to whom they belong. Okay, we do still have Wendy's commercial. Other cast, co-stars, Justin Smith as Morgan, Marcus, Pioneer, Justin Gray Henry, actor as Ranger, uncredited unknown actor as Mr. Dory in a photograph, deaths, Marcus and John Dory, and no goofs and bloopers listed. This is a trailer for horror of some kind, very Creepshow, Tales from the Crypt. Oh, it is Creepshow. It's literally Creepshow season two. Well, that certainly makes sense why it would look like Creepshow. We're probably about to go back. Yes, we are. I will see you guys at break number five, I think. Okay, guys, it's 9:38. Joan, there was sound. It's just me. Done something to my cable, and all of a sudden I was fast-forwarding through the show because I have that ability to do that with live shows, and I hit something, and now I'm off whack, and I'm not sure I'm in the same place with the show as you guys are. I'm actually watching a Disney Plus commercial, but I'm not entirely sure that that's live. I'd be curious whether that's what you see or not. Anyhow, you know what? I'm going to give just an eensy bit, only just because I'm super happy Virginia got shot, and I hope she dies of it, and I hope that Dakota tells her to go fuck herself. And I'm being really generous because this is not – Morgan, you're being such an idiot. You know, I can understand Strand and what he was doing because it all came to pass, but I don't understand what you were doing with them. Joan, let me know. I'm looking at something that looks like the Bourne Identity. It's a Bourne something. Bourne to run, to drive, to hit, to kick, kill, die. The Bourne Supremacy, Monday, 7:30. And the secret she keeps. And then a Ruffles commercial. And I hope that's what you're seeing, because I can't fool with the controls and see where I am as far as rewinding. Let me go ahead and finish out the trivia. Uncredited, we did all that in the goose and everything. Okay, cast birthdays. Let's do cast birthdays. Birthday I didn't have yet, but I saw it on Twitter when I was trying to figure out who was on the stupid couch. For the Talking Dead we're not having tonight. On the 15th, happy birthday to actress Karen David, who plays Grace. And the other birthdays for this week, Brandon Fobbs, who played Terry, Michonne's other pet, April 19th, he's a DC boy, yeah. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who's Negan, obviously, April 22nd, he's from Seattle. Anne Mahoney, who was Olivia from Alexandria, April 24th, she's from Rochester, New York. Austin Nichols, who played Spencer, April 24th, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Jordan Woods Robinson, who was Eric Raleigh in Alexandria, Aaron's boyfriend, April 24th, and he's from Bybee, Tennessee. And Jeffrey DeMunn, who played Dale, April 25th, Buffalo, New York. We're back, but I'm going to give some quick birthday applause while we're going back. See you guys at break number six. I'm staying at, well, I went up to 525 because I'm stupid, but not as stupid as Morgan. There's no reason for this. You know what, Joan? If you don't want to score it, that's fine. And if you want to score lower, I'm going to give you a pass. I just don't give me a pass because I am beholden to the rules because I decided that. But it's fine, and it's deserved. And what in the Kentucky Fried fuck are you doing, Morgan? This doesn't serve anything. They need for Dakota to hear this. But they're going about it completely stupid. This whole drawn-out drama adds nothing of value. You know, it's a giant exercise, and not a single fuck was given that day. That's what's going on here. Joan's staying at 4.5. She seems to go lower every week anyway, she says. Well, you know, I'm not going to ding you for that because they certainly have earned it, how they're doing this. Let me go back over to trivia. Amazingly, I did not get through all my notes already. Okay, we did birthdays. Featured music from last week. There was kind of an interesting piece. To Believe, title, by the Cinematic Orchestra and Moses Sumney. Was the music that was playing as John Dory floats to the bottom of the river. It's quite an interesting piece. You can go on tunefind.com and locate this, and then they have links to where it is on, like, YouTube and Spotify and Amazon Music and all that stuff. Not doing the unaccounted characters, not doing the Talking Dead because there isn't one. Ha! All right, 9:51. Trailers, so we might be going back in a minute. I was about to give you the back half of Fear Season 8. I'm waiting to see. I'm assuming this is going to go back to the show, so I don't want to get started. But it's taken an awful long time to get there. Let's just go. As 79/10, Handle with Care. Writers Channing Powell, director hasn't been announced. April 25th. I got that much out. And we're at Burger King, so let's keep going. 80/11 is The Holding. Ashley Cardiff and David Johnson, May 2nd. Episode 81/12, In Dreams. Writer, director not announced, May 9th. 82/13, called JD. The director is Aisha Tyler, May 16th. 83/14 is the 23rd. 84/15 is the 30th. And 85/16 is June 6th. And that brings us to the back half of Fear Season 6. That's the rest of the lineup. I had an article, in case you wanted to discuss stuff. I have two. One was called 52 Thoughts I Have Watching Fear the Walking Dead Season 6, Episode 9, Things Left to Do. It was a bit spoilery, which is why I put it at the end. I've also got an article about Garrett Dillahunt explaining why he wanted to leave Fear the Walking Dead, because I thought we should talk about that. Still on a commercial break, but I don't think we have time for articles. I will give you upcoming shows on NDB Media. Monday night with Roger Noriega, 4:19, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Roger Noriega brings you his unique take on politics, current events, entertainment, sci-fi, and history. It's currently hosted on StreamYard instead of here. We're still in commercials. Fandom Access, we can review on Tuesday the 20th, 4:20, dude. 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Join the lovable linguists, Jamie, Karen, and AJ, as they dive into another night of TV. They haven't posted what shows they're doing yet. The Rock and Roll Shrink won't be until the 28th at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Join me and Atlanta psychologist Dr. Stephen Mathis, PsyD, a.k.a. The Rock and Roll Shrink, as we discuss matters of mental health and mental health. We don't have a topic yet. We're back. I'll shut up. See you guys at the end. Weird. Okay, it's 10:04. I guess we're running over again. So I'm back because we're on a break. Still at 5.25. Not liking who a lot of people are being. Strand is being weird. Joan and I are waiting for June to snap and go after Dakota and Jenny. Well, you know, there was a weapon that they made an awful big deal about pointing out is just kind of standing there because you're going to go King Arthur that fucker right out of the rock. I don't know. So Joan is at 4.5 at the moment. I'm not sure we're all that far apart. There are parts of this story that I have really liked. I'm staying for that sake. But so much of it is way down the path from where we are now, and it's very hard to stay engaged with what's going on here. I don't know. Let me go look at my notes and see. I didn't give you all the shows. I was talking about The Rock and Roll Shrink. We had to stop. Travelage Radio, that will not be the 15th. That will be... I didn't change a date because I'm an idiot. It'll be the 22nd is what it'll be. There we go. Okay, I got it now. Delete. So Travelage Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 hours north of San Francisco, Mendocino County. Am I saying it right? Is it Mendocino or Mendocino County? Captures some of the most photogenic Pacific scenery anywhere in the United States. A one-time logging and fishing center, it sends a siren call out to out-of-towners with its benign climate, country inns, and quiet nature preserves, as well as its rich historic history. Learn more on Travel Itch Radio when Visit Mendocino. Executive Director Travis Scott accepts an interview from Dan Schlossberg and co-host Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee. All right, Secrets She Keeps trailer now in beer commercial. All right, so I have caught up with my notes except for the articles that I don't think we have time for. I think they're just fucking around to make it take longer so it lines up with the other show. Joan has said, I see glimmers of these characters as they were earlier in the series, but then the storylines they're being forced into are just ridiculous. I agree with you. And furthermore, I haven't been fond for a long time about the fact that it really is just The Walking Dead. I enjoyed the fact that they were on the coast of California and Mexico and other places that had nothing to do with the other storylines. These storylines could be in Virginia for all they're really all that different. And that irritates the hell out of me. We don't need two shows doing the same work here. The only reason I would put up with them is if they're all going to mush them, all three of them together, and then do CRM movies with Rick. That would be the only reason to put up with it this long. But I think Joan and I are in agreement that Fear jumped the shark a while ago. I'm just staying here because I believe in completion. And that's really honestly it. The storyline hasn't been compelling for a while now. Individual characters I'm fond of because of past stories, primarily in season three and some of the aftermath. And I wanted this show to be the things that are different, that are not like The Walking Dead Classic. Because if I wanted to do that, I'll just watch The Walking Dead Classic. I don't really see the point otherwise. All right, it's 10:08. There is a crap ton of commercials, and I don't know why they don't just end the show. Why are they dragging it out? I guess they're waiting for 10:15 to have that other stupid show come on and make us not have Talking Dead, so salty about that. Not real fond. Do not want. All right, now we're back, finally. Grr. Okay, we're at 10:14. They did what I thought they were doing. They were stalling until 10:15. Joan is willing to go up to 5.5 now. Do you not hear me? No? I am talking. There's such a delay. I don't know what's going on. Anyhow, Joan is at 5.5. I was at 5.25. You know, I'm willing to end on 5.5 because... thank God, June did the right thing. I know what Morgan's saying. I get what Morgan's saying, but enough is enough because Virginia always apologizes. She's never good for it. There's no point to this. Just put old Yeller out of his misery. We are done. All right, nothing much more to say. There's no Talking Dead. I've read you all my notes. So thank you. Not only to everybody joining us tonight, but those of you who may be listening later via podcast, iTunes, or the Blog Talk Radio website. Special appreciation to our host, NDB Media. We hope you guys will join us next weekend for another live watch party on the same network, so please watch our Facebook page for showtimes and episode links. Remember, next week's episode 79, 10th this season, Handle with Care. Writer is Channing Powell. That will be April 25th. Thanks for joining us. Joan, thanks for helping and putting up with this hot mess. See you guys next time. Thank you for being here. Good night.